understand that as well. But all people should. If anyone, if Americans, if British people, if the French people, if German people, if Scandinavian people, if African people, if Canadian people, if Mexican people, South American people, if they want freedom and to have control over their own resources and the liberty to make decisions for their own lives, their own countries, their own resources, they have got to join hands against this Zionist network that manifests, or the symbol of it is the Zionist state in the Middle East, as they call it. It is a responsibility, brothers and sisters, and we have come so far, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah, the blessing of Allah, the blood of the shuhada, the sacrifice of the shuhada. Israel that was one day constantly expanding, and the plans were to expand further and further and conquer and rule over directly from the Nile to the Euphrates. That was what their plan was, and they were moving in that direction the first few years with the backstabbing of some of the Arab and Muslim leaders, supposedly Muslim leaders. They made a lot of progress. Suddenly they had most of Palestine, a good amount of it. They got that internationally recognized according to themselves. They went into Lebanon, they took parts of Syria, they took part of Egypt, then they gave it with the... Of course, it's funny because when they took the Sinai Desert or the Sinai Peninsula, when they took it, they gave it back to Egypt. But if you look at the deal they made, they took all of Egypt in order for the Egyptian government to say that the Sinai Peninsula is ours. But they had to give up all of Egypt. They did, unfortunately. They made a lot of progress during those times. And they were almost unstoppable until the voice of Imam Khomeini, as the leader of this movement, the voice of the believers who believed in Allah, who believed in the promises of Allah, saw the leadership of Imam Khomeini. They moved forward. They fought the Zionist regime. The Zionist regime had to leave Lebanon instead of expanding and started to shrink. And it's shrinking. It had to leave. Later, it had to leave Gaza. They occupied Gaza. They had settlements in Gaza. But because of the sacrifice of the Mujahideen, of Hamas, and Islamic Jihad, and others in Gaza, the Zionists were forced to leave. It didn't come for free, but the fight of the believers in the way of Allah for the liberty of the masses, for the freedom of the masses, of the Palestinian people, of all the people in that region, because of their sacrifices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the people, blessed those, and rewarded those efforts. The Zionist regime has got the weaponry, the support, the money, the political support, the political influence, everything you can imagine to use against a people that are besieged still in Gaza. And what the people of Gaza have is their own people, stones they had one day only. They had their own handmade weapons that they could use only. And then besides that, the support of the Islamic Republic that has supplied them with rockets, with technology to build more advanced weaponry against the Zionist regime. The Islamic Republic that is sanctioned, that is trying to be killed, which of course, alhamdulillah, it's not happening, and it's going to grow stronger and stronger. But the only nation, and the only people, the only government, not the only people, there's many people that support the Palestinian cause, but the only government that has supported the Palestinian cause wholeheartedly with everything that they have as the Islamic Republic. And they are proud, and we are proud, that this is reminding us of the great teachings and the great sunnah of the Prophet, the sunnah of the Ahlul Bayt, the sunnah of Amirul Mu'mineen, the words of Amirul Mu'mineen we're seeing now being implemented and manifested during this time by the believers over there, supporting each other. As the Prophet said in Hajjatul Wida', that you should all be one hand against the enemies of Islam. Unfortunately, the enemies of Islam have been able to divide us in so many different ways. They tell the Shia, don't support the Palestinians because they are Daesh, because they are Nasibi, because they are this, because they are that. And then they go to Sunnis, or they go to the Palestinians, they go to Hamas, and they tell them, you don't want Iran to support you. Iran is this, Iran is that, Iran is Shia, they're against you, they hate you. They're kafir, they're this, they're that. These are the words of the shaitan. It's beautiful to see believers seeing through this, both on the side of the Shia in the Islamic Republic, to see that these are the plots of the enemies. These are Muslimun that are being oppressed, that are being killed, that are being kicked out of and off of their own lands, out of their own homes. These are Muslimin that are calling for help, tortured daily in so many different ways. The Prophet said, if you hear the call of Ya Lal Muslimin, you don't respond to that. You're not of me. They see that the voices that say these are not people you want to support are the words of and the voice of Shaitan. And it's amazing to see the believers who identify as Sunni, that when the Islamic Republic says we have something to offer, when the Shia say we support you, they don't say, well, we don't want your support, you're not of us, we're not of you. They say, no, we are Muslimin, we are brothers. This is amazing, and we hope and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases that. I wanted to emphasize, and these were just reminders, that nothing new was said, but unfortunately, all the falsehood that is being said and pumped and repeated so many times in the media, in so many different ways, in the ugly and disgusting silence of the voices of truth, or the silencing of the voices of truth, is such that it requires us to mention these known facts repeatedly, especially in the month of Ramadan. I feel that it's an obligation for all of us to work towards having a Yawmul Quds this year that is even more effective than previous years.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are
a Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. It is my absolute honor and pleasure to be with you guys today. And of course, with my wonderful friend and sister, Sister Razia Shamili. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's really an honor for me to be here.
So we've been talking for the last few episodes about pre-pregnancy steps parents can take in order to prepare themselves for having a baby, and that 9 months where a woman's body becomes basically a home to another human being, a human being that is developing its little organs one by one, and the state of the baby in the uterus affects how the baby, affects the baby's entire life, to be perfectly honest. I mean, exactly. If the mother suffers from depression during the pregnancy, the baby's more prone. If there are any deficiencies during the pregnancy, the baby could be affected by it. So it's really important that we take these steps seriously and really prepare ourselves for bringing life to this world. Both the dad and the mom should not take this pre-pregnancy
preparation
lightly. So on the last episode, I don't know if you guys were with us or not, but Sister Razia just decided to make us hungry for no apparent reason. She talked about three Persian traditional foods that mamas usually consume in order to detox their bodies and rid their bodies of any toxins and negative elements. So what's the continuation of our discussion today?
We have a lot more to talk about tasty fruits. Seriously? And food, inshallah, today.
I hope people aren't listening to this during the month of Ramadan, though.
I know.
Guys, I'm so sorry.
But they can make these as very good openings for their iftar.
Yeah, yeah, inshallah.
These are perfect meals. And when you were talking about mom's body as the host, as the resting place, as the peaceful resting place of this baby, I remember this beautiful verse from the Quran, verse 13 of Surah Mu'minun, where it says, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. This is so beautiful. We made him a small seed in a firm resting place.
You know, when they talk about resting place, the first thing that comes to mind could be a graveyard. Mm. But we really forget that for 9 months, all we did was rest in our mama's belly.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. Shout out to my mom. I love you.
Okay. I'm sure this positive vibe, this positive energy will reach her.
Inshallah.
I'm sure. I was searching. I didn't know myself how to make Asha Abgure, or as they call it,
verjuice
Ash. And I searched it, and I found it really, really interesting. It has onions. Mm-hmm. You fry the onions. Then do you fry
it, or do you just saute it until it's like soft?
There are two kinds. Mm. Some people, to give it more taste, they fry it a little bit.
Okay.
And some people just like dice it, and then they add it into like water, and they put everything, and they put it on the oven, on the stove, until it's ready. So just the ingredients I'm going to talk about. It has rice, dill and mint. The two herbs are only dill and mint. Mm-hmm. Then we have peas. Of course, dried mint if you don't have any fresh mint. Actually, they fry onions with dry mint to give it a very good flavor.
Mm.
Because if you only have rice and split peas, and it's going to have a raw taste.
True.
So if you add this fried onion with the dill and the dried mint, it will give it a very nice, beautiful taste. Mm. And then you have the turmeric, salt, pepper, and the verjuice that you add once it's ready.
Uh-huh,
you can also add it like while it's cooking.
Because I think beans don't cook properly.
When you add that vinegar, inside. Yeah. Yeah, even if you add salt in the beginning of making it, it'll
be kind of hard.
Yeah,
in the middle.
Exactly.
They won't cook through.
So I usually wait until my food is ready, and then I add the salt and the.
So it's a really nice hearty soup.
It is. It
right,
is.
It really fills you up.
Yeah.
Because of the rice and all those beans.
Exactly.
And
it smells really good because of the dill and the mint.
The mint,
you should
go
make it today.
Why torture me? Why?
Okay. So these are three detox. Let's go to fruits.
Oh,
which
yes.
Which act like detox for the body. Number one. Can you
anything
guess
that doesn't require cooking is good.
Exactly. Can you guess what kind of fruit is detoxing?
I don't know. Pomegranates are
one.
Are quince one of them?
No, quince are not detoxins.
Okay.
You can have quince when you're pregnant.
Ah, okay. So, what?
Raisins.
Raisins?
Grapes.
Interesting. So if grapes are not in season, just have raisins.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or you can have the vinegar. Or you can have the verjuice or the raisins. Any kind of format of these that is suitable with the season you're in, you can consume those. So this is very, grapes are super good, especially in summertime. You find plenty of them in many countries, especially in Iran. You find different types of grapes. They're really good. That's number one. Two, olives.
Oh, wow.
Olives are very
heavenly
good.
Heavenly fruits.
Yeah, detoxins. Berries, mulberries, strawberries,
yum.
Raspberries.
Ooh.
All these beautiful, colorful fruits that are usually springy and summery. These are great. Also, cornelian cherry.
Mm.
Have you tried cornelian cherry?
I don't think so. But if you can't find these in season, I'm sure you can find them
dried.
Yeah.
Exactly. Also, pomegranates, as you mentioned. Barberries.
Mm-hmm.
Barberries are, as you said, you can find the dried barberries. You can soak them in water and drink them.
Mm.
But they're super taste. But they're also very good detoxins. My mouth is watering. And they're also very good antioxidants.
Perfect.
Yeah, and they cleanse your liver.
Oh,
of all the poisons.
Which is exactly what we want.
Exactly. So consume a lot of these. Of course, if you find them to be sour, you can have a little bit of honey afterwards, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's go to vegetables that can be used for detoxing the body. Number one, beetroots and their leaves.
With the leaves.
With the leaves.
Interesting.
Right. Turnips.
Uh-huh.
All these are
rooty
vegetables, right? Carrots, carrot juice.
Interesting.
These are very good detoxins. I didn't know myself. Celery, sweet potatoes, Indian potatoes. I don't know what Indian potatoes are, but I was reading somewhere that Indian potatoes are very good detoxins. Zucchini, okra.
Aha.
They are super delicious and super good. You can make a fabulous dish with okra where you fry the onions and you add the okra, pieces of lamb meat, and tomato paste or tomato
puree,
and you add a little bit of water. You let it cook for about 2-3 hours and you are... And you can also add some verjuice to it.
Mm.
All these would make a very beautiful and
that's
tasty...
That's actually easy. You toss it into the slow cooker.
Exactly.
And by noon, you've got lunch.
Exactly. And
awesome.
It's detoxins, too.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, see? So many good ideas. These are detoxins for pre-pregnancy we're talking about, but it could also be used for any woman who wants to have a healthy body... and to have a healthy lifestyle. So all these could be used for cleansing and freshening the liver, which is a very important organ of the body, which detoxes your body of all the poisons and waste matter that is within your body, that enters your body with all the food that you eat.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Next, we go into drinks that you can have, okay? One, and all these are usually in the Iranian traditional medicine that our grandmas used to take and used to eat and used to give to their daughter-in-laws, to their daughters, preparations for pregnancy. And also, some of them are, as they are detoxins, they are good for any phase in your life, especially in summertime when you feel that your body is feeling very heavy because of the heat of the day,
you can feel dehydrated, parched.
Okay. Exactly. So one drink is sirke engabin.
What's that?
There are different methods of making it. Sirke is vinegar.
Okay.
Right? And so you need mint extract, fresh homemade vinegar, not those you can find in a store that are artificially
processed, right?
Yeah, we're not looking for them, and honey.
Uh-huh.
These three, mint, vinegar, and honey.
And then you pour water into it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh, you sweeten it with water. It's actually mint extract and vinegar that you can also put some fresh leaves of mint inside to make it look very refreshing. Also, you can have fresh lemon,
uh-huh.
mint, mojito as
basically
make it, and you can sweeten it with honey.
Right.
My dad makes vinegar. He mixes vinegar with date or grape syrup. Instead of honey, you can put grape syrup, which is high in iron.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So if you add these two, and you add a little bit of mint also to it, these are perfect detoxants for your body pre-pregnancy and also for summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of drinking soda or any kind of
carbonated drinks,
yeah, or even
filled with sugar,
exactly, or even fruit juices, which are filled with additives and preservatives,
exactly.
Just make these; they're so good. You can even add some rose water to it.
Mm-hmm, mashallah.
It will make a very good
refreshing drink.
Yeah. Also, one very good detoxant in the morning is to squeeze a fresh lemon into warm water and add some honey to it and drink it every single day for detoxing your body.
Mm.
And if you find that these are too sour for you, you can eat them with raisins or with, as we said, honey or with dates. Here we can add date syrup or mulberry syrup or grape syrup, anything that is sweetened that has natural sugar and that is full of iron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, I found that according to Iranian traditional medicine, dried lemon, I used to find dried lemon in khorisht-e qaymeh. And I thought like they would use it to make it a little bit sour, but I found that this dried lemon makes the absorption of mint so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. That was very interesting. So it prevents all kinds of minerals to be residued in the body.
Right.
So
rather than it just being leaving residues, it helps the body absorb these minerals instead, right?
Yeah, especially the nutrients in the mint,
uh-huh.
in the meat.
Right.
Not in the mint, in the meat. Also, one very, very good detoxant is very popular in Iran is sharbat khakshir. Dyskyrania sophia.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know if this is the scientific term for it. Or
yeah, probably.
Yeah. But if people have constipation, you have to boil it a little.
Mm-hmm.
And because a lot of pregnant women get this problem, and so they can have it with rose water, boil it a little bit and consume it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is especially used for pre-pregnancy preparations for detoxing the body.
Just flush everything out.
Yeah.
All right.
To
cleanse your body, inshallah ta'ala. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia. And thank you to our listeners for being with us. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman,
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan,
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity.
La ilaha illallah,
Muhammadur Rasulullah,
La ilaha.
Quran speaks about women.
Allah.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents. For humanity. Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program For Humanity. Previously, we started talking about the month of Ramadan and how it is linked to humanity. This will be our last episode in trying to speak about the month of Ramadan and linking it to humanity. Sadly, and it is a very unfortunate, that we see during the month of Ramadan, the Muslims seem to consume more food and waste more food in the month of Ramadan than any other month. And the numbers in this regard are absolutely shocking. And I will mention just a few of them. Before we delve into that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us that one should not indulge in the action of israf and tabdir, which is to go in excess and to waste. So you see that because we fast during the day, so we have what we call, we lust for things, if I can use that word. We have temptation towards things. So I'm fasting, so I feel like eating this and that and this and that. So I go to the market and I do more shopping just to satisfy my desires. And we cook more and different types of food just to satisfy our desires. And because we're fasting, and so when one fasts a whole day and then he gets to eat, obviously he will eat less because that's how it works, right? Now, I'm not a scientist nor a doctor, but one cannot consume too much when he's fasting. So you get full very quickly. And then what happens to that excess of food that we've cooked and prepared? Most of it goes to waste. So this is what we call tabdir. And israf is when I buy more things than what I require. I don't need so much food. I don't need to buy so many types of sweets and foods and I don't know, what have you, just so I can satisfy myself when it's time to break my fast. So if you look at the month of Ramadan, we consume more than any other months. So according to statistics, it says that, for example, in Saudi Arabia, what people buy in the month of Ramadan, so for one person, what he buys in the month of Ramadan is more than what he buys in or equal to three other months. So in just one month, I buy and I waste 3 months, or the equivalent of 3 months, which is a staggering number, which is a scary number. That's how much waste ends up. We end up wasting. That's how much food we end up wasting in the month of Ramadan. While millions of people around the world at the same time going to bed hungry. And we mentioned some of the statistics in this regard, where there are over 690 million people go to bed with empty stomachs. While we, the Muslims, who are fasting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we end up wasting more money than, or more food than what we are required to do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He says those who are wasting and those who are waste are the brothers of shaitan. So if one wants to be the brother of Satan, all he has to do is waste money. And sadly, sometimes I could be the brother of Satan without realizing, by just wasting money. And if we look into our families, we see that we truly waste too much, and we throw a lot of food in the dumpsters and the rubbish because we just can't eat it. And once it stays more than a day or 2 days, we kind of don't want to eat leftovers, especially during the month of Ramadan, because we like to have fresh food. So that which was from last night ends up being thrown away. Now, let's take a break, and inshallah we continue this discussion.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, and you are still listening to the program for humanity. So we did say that in the month of Ramadan, we end up wasting more food than what we require. So according to the statistics, it's said that one person in the Arabic Peninsula throws food in the dumpsters equivalent to 250 kilos. 250 kilos of food per person gets thrown in the rubbish in the Arabic Peninsula. And that 250 increases to 350 kilos in the month of Ramadan. So there's 150 kilos increase to the daily or yearly waste that we do, and especially in the Arabic Peninsula. While the same rate of people who are hungry increases. So I'm wasting more food. At the same time, those who are hungry increases. So you have 52 million people in Africa who suffer severe pain due to hunger, while I get to waste 350 kilograms of food on a daily basis, which is kind of very scary. All right, so this is just one statistic. Another statistic, it says in Dubai only, in United Arab Emirates, 1,800 ton of food gets thrown in the rubbish yearly. That's a staggering number when you have millions of people starving, and we have a nation or just one city wasting 1,800 tons, not kilos, tons of food in the is going to the rubbish. In Bahrain, 400 tons daily goes to rubbish. 400 tons daily goes to rubbish. While we have millions of people who are what? Who are suffering from malnutrition and from hunger. So if in the month of Ramadan, this month of mercy, where me and you were told to give from our wealth and from our food to those who are less fortunate and to those who are deprived, yet we end up wasting. What have we learned from this month? What have we learned? Nothing. So we need to be very careful that in the month of Ramadan, we need to control our desires when it comes to eating and drinking and indulging in the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for us. And we need to be very careful that we don't turn this month of mercy into a month of anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every time we end up wasting food and throwing it in the rubbish bins, that is a problem. Then my fasting goes out of the door. So we need to make it very clear to our families and to our wives and to our husbands that we need to cook less, eat less, and waste less. Otherwise, we are doing no good for ourselves and we are depriving others of this food that they could be eating to survive. Because we did say there are thousands of children die daily because of hunger. So let's keep this message in our mind during the month of Ramadan. Inshallah, we'll continue our discussion in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Let's listen to the famous reciters of the Holy Quran in the month of Allah.
سبحان الله
Brother Muhammad Reza Birya, only in IRIB English Radio.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of
the month of Allah. In this segment of the show, we're going to talk about famous reciters of the Quran, both Egyptian and Iranian reciters. One of the great reciters who is very famous is, without a doubt, Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. This great reciter was born in 1927. You know, in the 1920s, many great reciters were born. Reciters such as Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, Sheikh Kamil Yusuf al-Bahtimi, Sheikh Abu Al-Ainain Shu'aisha, Sheikh Abdul Basit, Sheikh Hamd al-Zamir, and also Sheikh Ahmad Amir. He was born in 1927. His father was a teacher of Tajweed. He knew Tajweed of the Quran, and he was also a Hafiz. Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad memorized the whole Quran at an early age, just like most reciters from Egypt. I think it's very good that all those who want to be reciters of the Quran and recite the Quran melodiously, they should first try to memorize the whole Quran. This is something that Shahat Muhammad Anwar, the famous reciter, also had advised all of the Iranians when he visited Iran. He said that you should first try to memorize the whole Quran, learn the Tajweed, and also Maqamat, and then you will become a good reciter of the Quran. When Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad was just 12 years old, he would recite the Quran in Quran gatherings. Sheikh Abdul Basit visited many Muslim and non-Muslim countries, and many non-Muslims, by listening to the recitation of Sheikh Abdul Basit, converted to Islam. That's how influential and beautiful his recitation was. It's been said that Sheikh Abdul Basit is al-dhahabul khalis, meaning pure gold. His voice is pure gold. His voice is very beautiful. It's silky smooth, and that is what makes him very famous throughout the world. In fact, the first reciter whom the entire world became familiar with, especially Muslims, was Sheikh Abdul Basit. If you go into the streets and ask people, name me one reciter of the Quran, they will say Sheikh Abdul Basit. This great reciter passed away in 1988 from diabetes. May Allah bless him and reward him. Now we're going to listen to the recitation of Surah At-Tariq by Sheikh Abdul Basit Muhammad Abdul Samad. Let's enjoy this recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسماء والطارق وما
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful, by the sky and the night comer. And what can make you know what is the night comer? It is the piercing star. There is no soul but that it has over it a protector. So let man observe from what he was created. He was created from a fluid, ejected, emerging from between the backbone and the ribs. Indeed, Allah, to return him to life, is able. The day when secrets will be put on trial, then man will have no power or any helper. By the sky which returns rain, and by the earth which cracks open. Indeed, the Quran is a decisive statement, and it is not amusement. Indeed, they are planning a plan, but I am planning a plan. So allow time for the disbelievers. Leave them a while.
American politician and lawyer Elliot Abrams, who has served in a number of U.S. administrations, has proposed to improve American foreign policy. In an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, Abrams argued that the U.S. is at a critical crossroads when it comes to the defense of American freedom, security, and prosperity. Abrams says around the world, the U.S. faces significant national security threats, among them revisionist powers, the spread of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, and transnational terrorism, which are all made more dangerous by renewed great power competition with China. Abrams believed none of those challenges will disappear if America abandons the international role it has maintained since World War II as what he called a superpower leader of the free world. Abrams also says that is why he is joining with 75 other national security scholars and practitioners to launch the Vandenberg Coalition, a new network committed to advancing what has been described as a strong and proud American foreign policy. But what is this war party and what purpose does it serve?
We will eliminate all of these people with this dual loyalty, like Elliot Abrams. Elliot Abrams is the son of Norman Podaritz, a son-in-law of Norman Podaritz and Midge Dekter, a classic neocon, a man who's willing to break the laws of the United States of America in the interest of Israel. He had to get a pardon in order to get his job, his security clearance. We need to have a clear dividing line here between the people who serve Israel, like Elliot Abrams, who serve Israel's interests, and the people who serve America's interests.
Many believe this sounds more like the project for the new American century. PNAC, which was active between the years of 1997 and 2006, was a new conservative think tank whose goal was to promote American global leadership. The group openly advocated for total global military domination, and many PNAC members held highest level positions in the George W. Bush administration.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Nothing has changed except the labels. These people were For some reason, they didn't like Donald Trump. I don't understand this. He did everything that Israel wanted. But this, the problem here is that these people are always using front groups. They're always trying to disguise themselves as an American this or Republican that or conservative this. All of these labels are covers. They're disguises for the fact that these are Jews pursuing Jewish interests, this interest of the state of Israel, and not the interest of the United States of America.
Elliot Abrams' proposal comes as the United States has already been actively engaged in multiple confrontations in the Middle East and East Asia. It's now a decades-long war on countries like Afghanistan and Iraq, and even Syria, have led to nothing but deaths and destruction. The wars cost America trillions of dollars. However, numerous military manufacturers, including Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, and Northrop Grumman, have large contributions to U.S. wars by profiting the most from them. This is why growing arms investments mean a lot for international relations. Many believe this may be the reason behind the creation of the project suggested by Abrams. Meanwhile, Washington has been at a trade war with China for some years. It has also been initiating a potential altercation by keeping its presence in the South China Sea and other areas in the region. It seems that such comments by the likes of Abrams only serve the U.S. military manufacturers and the deep state, which support forever wars, as opposed to the policy of the new administration of President Joe Biden.
But if you're talking about America's interest, you're disguising once again the fact that this is Israel's interest. These are Jewish interests. And yeah, there is a military-industrial complex that profits from wars. That's true. But that all disguises the fact that what Elliot Abrams really represented here. So as I said at the beginning, I think this is a good idea. I think they should form a Jewish party. If you want Jewish interests, if you want America to serve Jewish interests, then vote for Elliot Abrams and all of his formerly known as neoconservative friends.
Biden's reluctance to continue down the path of neocons and other warmongers in the U.S. ruling establishment aside, the U.S. is practically unable to keep going down that road. On the other hand, multiple U.S. wars waged over the past decades indicate that the United States is a warning power, as it has not won any of them. Yet Washington wants to continue its wars and its costs. Most observers, strategists, and political scientists, as well as sitting and former officials in the U.S. and the wider West, believe that America's clout has long been under decline and the country is no longer capable of acting like the good cop it has portrayed itself to be.
New allegations are swirling around British Prime Minister Boris Johnson about misusing funds received from Conservative Party donations. The Prime Minister stands accused of infringing the law by using the funds to renovate his residence at No. 11 Downing Street. The allegation has prompted an Electoral Commission probe into the matter, which can take months to complete. Johnson maintains that he has personally paid for the costs of the renovation.
Who initially, and Prime Minister, initially is the key word here, who initially paid for the redecoration of his Downing Street flat?
As for the latest stuff that he's bringing up, he should know that I've paid for Downing Street refurbishment personally, Mr. Speaker, and I contrast it. Any further declaration that I have to make, I will, I will be advised upon by Lord Guy.
However, the British Prime Minister did not clarify whether he initially made the payments.
Well, if any of the three reviews into his conduct find that he broke the ministerial code, then Johnson would be expected to resign, but just expect it, is how it says. But the code has already proved useless, really, like in the case of Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon, but she did a lot worse. But really, I don't think the Electoral Commission, which is investigating, it's conducting at least one of the investigations, will really want to bring down the leader of an elected government with a large majority.
The latest allegation, which is referred to by the British media as the sleaze row, comes only days before local elections across the country are scheduled to be held. A recent opinion poll now shows the ruling Conservatives are losing their lead over the opposition Labour Party. Apart from the redecoration scandal, there have been other unconfirmed reports that the Conservative Party donors have been solicited funds for personal matters. The Sunday Times has cited a British MP as saying that he had received a complaint from a donor who was asked to pay for Boris Johnson's child's nanny. A spokesperson for the Prime Minister's office dismissed the report, saying Johnson had paid all the childcare costs himself, but she didn't respond to a question about who had initially made the payment. But that's not the only report tarnishing the Prime Minister's image. He's recently been grilled about whether or not he had said he would rather see bodies piled up in their thousands than declare another nationwide lockdown, remarks he flatly rejects ever making.
Prime Minister.
No, Mr. Speaker, and I think what I think the Right Honourable Gentleman is a lawyer, I'm given to understand. I think that if he's going to repeat allegations like that, he should come to this House and substantiate those allegations and say where he heard them and who exactly is supposed to have said those. Who exactly is supposed to have said those things, Mr. Speaker? Because what I certainly can tell him. And he asked about the October decisions. They were very bitter.
The rules on parliamentarians' expenses were really tightened up more than 10 years ago, and a few MPs were forced to resign over that. But that means that a lot of the Westminster sleaze that we used to talk about all the time has been eliminated. I think the reason that this has become such a big issue is that the Labour Party opposition doesn't have any clear policies or even really broad politics.
Tories are now debating who's behind the leaks, with the majority of fingers now pointing at former aide to the Prime Minister, Dominic Cummins. In the meantime, the opposition Labour Party has accused the government of showing contempt against the British people by engaging in such infightings.
An audit by the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID, has revealed that Washington's effort in February 2019 to send aid to Venezuela was part of a plot to change the legitimate government of President Nicolas Maduro in the oil-rich Latin American country. The USAID report noted that the aid offer was not planned in alignment with humanitarian principles, but for supporting pro-Western figure Juan Guaido. That is while Venezuela was grappling with chronic shortages of food and medicine. The document said materials sent to the Colombian border region in February 2019 were planned to be distributed by the allies of Venezuelan opposition figure Juan Guaido to reinforce his credibility. The U.S. administration, under the former President Donald Trump, planned for the aid supplies to be carried out by Guaido's allies across the Colombian border into Venezuela. However, the Venezuelan government blocked the aid convoys at the time, calling the U.S. move a violation of the country's sovereignty. In reaction to the audit, the Venezuelan Foreign Minister Jorge Arreaza said the U.S. offered aid to the oil-rich nation 2 years ago in a bid to overthrow the government of Caracas. Also, the Venezuelan Information Minister Freddy Nunez called the so-called U.S. humanitarian support an excuse in which Washington sought to break Venezuela's territorial sovereignty. Venezuela descended into political turmoil after opposition figure Juan Guaido unilaterally declared himself as the interim president in January 2019. He claimed Maduro's re-election in 2018 was fraudulent. The Trump administration recognized Guaido as the legitimate leader of Venezuela and publicly pursued a regime change policy against Maduro. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has reaffirmed the U.S. recognition of Guaido as the interim president and has ruled out negotiations with Maduro anytime soon. Washington has been pursuing a regime change in Venezuela and has imposed crippling sanctions on the country to force Maduro out of power. The organization USAID has been accused of political interference in the past. It has used aid and the notion of democracy promotion to interfere in countries like Russia and Cuba. Venezuela has been no exception.
Well, I would say yes, the U.S. does lose credibility when its plans get exposed, but that won't deter the United States from trying to push forward these plans. Really, what we have in the U.S. is there's one end goal, one end interest, and that interest is the interest of imperialism, of